Marcus, Australian TV's Night of Nights this week.
Footy? No, something else.
Logies.
Logies, yes.
I know you're a big fan. Religiously watch every year. Your highlight?
Tim, I don't actually watch the Logies very often, but circumstances this year have meant I'm a bit more homebound, so I did watch quite a bit of it. Mm-hmm. The actual highlights, obviously, we'll talk about the Molly Meldrum incident after the Gold Logie win. Johnson.
The Molly Meldrum situation.
Yes. Meldrum Gate or whatever.
Meldrum Gate, yeah.
Yeah. But I actually really enjoyed Jessica Mowboy and Casey Donovan, their performances. Like, obviously, they had James Blunt, the big international draw card. Mm-hmm. But two performances from Australia that I was really impressed with, what they could produce live. Casey did a song during the clips of people that had passed away during the year. But it was just the way she did it, and I was quietly impressed. And that was a big highlight for me.
I didn't catch those performances, but I like that they had some Aussies up there, because the first performance which I did see was Sun Blowing.
Yeah.
From overseas. Andy Grammer. Apparently he's big with the kids.
Is he?
But,
yeah.
I mean, but, and then Michael Gudinski gets up about the Molly Meldrum thing, and his whole thing is, let's promote Aussie music. And I think, yeah, that's a good point. Why not? Why was there not a bigger, more prominent Aussie act like early on in the night, because there's tons.
Yep.
Plenty of ones they could have picked from. What I also caught, and what my probably my highlight was I liked Dave Hughes's opening monologue this year.
Bit of a roast.
Yeah, it was a bit of a roast, and it felt to me very much like Ricky Gervais. If you watch what Gervais has done at the, I think it was at the Golden Globes, he's done three times or thereabouts, where he's basically turned it into an art form just to basically make people who are in the room as uncomfortable as possible by just going straight for the taboo topic about whoever it is.
Let's go through. George from MasterChef.
George from MasterChef cooked the books.
Cooked the books. That was good. Yep.
Yep, knocked him over. He lined up the CEO of Channel 7, currently in a scandal with an employee.
Of all the ones, that was the one where there was a lot of groans from the crowd and a bit of... That's what you want.
Yeah. So brilliant there. And he also took apart Grant Denyer, who had just recently survived a near-fatal car crash. So he didn't hold back.
It's good. It's good. I think if you're going to make these events work... It's live TV, and you want something that gets a good, honest reaction from the celebs and those sort of things. Saw them putting their finger into their collar and feeling a bit awkward, and I like that.
The other thing you feel like someone delivers a set like that, and you feel like he, in that situation, is talking directly to the home viewer. He is bypassing the names and the celebs. He is delivering that solely for the benefit of just us Joe Blows sitting at home who don't know any of these people, don't care, but, you know, just love to have a laugh at their expense, basically.
And he poked fun at himself as well, so that's always saving grace as well.
Oh, you got to do it. Yeah, you got to do that. Was there anything else? Well, yeah, the Molly situation.
Was there anything else?
I mean, probably most people have seen some of the clips of that. I don't know if there's much more to add.
No, it was definitely uncomfortable. I don't know if it's... No, it's not sad. It's just Molly's power with speech has dwindled because of a few brain injuries. And his story probably not appropriate for a Gold Logie sort of part of the night. But
you know when
that's what Logies is about, isn't it? Uncomfortable moments.
It is about an uncomfortable moment. He essentially gate-crashed Samuel Johnson's acceptance speech for the Gold Logie, which he won for portraying Molly Meldrum. And Samuel Johnson, no stranger to controversy himself, he's a lively type, and, you know, has had his own moments in the media spotlight for probably the wrong reasons. You know that a situation is bad when he is standing in the background grimacing about what's unfolding. But yeah, essentially Molly just went on too long and was pretty much indecipherable at points, could not really hear what he was talking about, and it's sad because as you say, he has had some knocks to the head, and he's obviously not in a great way, but still a legend of the industry, and I think overall people loved seeing him up there.
Another highlight, sorry, I just forgot this one, Kerri-Anne Kennelly, recognised, I don't know what you call it, the
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer. Beautiful speech about her time in the industry and her love for her husband that's been through some pretty traumatic times as well.
And her first, that was her first Logie.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Seems incorrect.
I mean, I did enjoy Samuel Johnson and Molly, but does that warrant you as a gold Logie? I don't know. It didn't seem a big enough chunk of TV for the year to win it. But I guess,
true. Yeah, I think it was only, what, two nights. But yeah. Anyway.
Ah, well.
Everyone's a winner at the end of it.
That's right.
Except for the CEO of Channel 7.
Oh, what next, Tim? There's been a bit of scandal in the footy world this week with a Port Adelaide player, but all seems to be resolved.
I guess so. When you say football scandal, I honestly don't know which one you mean, because at the moment, the AFL is just plagued with just terrible stories. The one you're talking about, yeah, Jackson Trengove, Port Adelaide player, caught up in some kind of incident outside of a pub. Club has looked into it, apparently. No problem there.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, probably. It shouldn't be like this with players, but always alcohol fueled after 1 o'clock at night. There's going to be tempers. And
well, apparently he might have been the victim.
Yes, yeah, he was. But I guess you're out there.
You're out
and,
there.
And you're going to have to stand up for your mates or a female person in you or a female friend.
It's difficult because as we talk, the full story hasn't come out. But the suggestion is he was coming to the assistance of someone and got clobbered perhaps from behind without him even knowing what was going on.
Tell us about the other footy story. It's words that were said inappropriately, but is it the player's fault?
Well, yeah, it has to be.
Okay.
At what point did we stop being responsible for the words that come out of our mouth?
Mm.
There's a whole lot. You can, all kinds of arguments and angles and points of view to look at this. This refers to Heath Shaw caught on the microphone of an umpire using a fairly, well, I don't even know how to describe the phrase.
I guess it's a term linked to people with mental disabilities, would
you
say?
Yeah, he said effing retard.
Mm.
There's been some debate about, well, why there are even microphones out on the field. Understand all that, but bottom line is he said it.
Mm.
If you don't want what you're saying to be recorded, then I reckon it's worth having a second thought about, should you be saying it? Full stop. I know it's a bit tricky, but I mean, and I don't think he should be hung, drawn, and quartered over it necessarily either.
No.
He apologised straight away. That's good. Move on. But I don't know. I don't think that we can fob off responsibility for the stuff we say.
I dare say 95% of his energies at that very moment are about winning the game and doing the best for his team, and that just flew out of his mouth. How do we filter, though, bad language and inappropriate language out of everything? Like our newsroom, you're part of it. It's what we say behind closed doors is terrible, but I guess
when we go behind I don't know, it is a tough one.
Well, I guess part of the debate is, does Channel 7 or Foxtel need to put these things on delay? We probably don't need to hear it absolutely live. Could they? I feel like some of the cricket highlights, you come back from the break after an over's finished and they go, well, here's a little clip, and you hear the byplay between a tense exchange between a bowler and batsman. Perhaps
right.
They've got to think about that.
Yeah, just listen to it on a replay, make sure it's vetted and all above board and all okay. But, I don't know. There's something to be said for those insights into the real world as well, because, I mean, without doubt, that's the way, you know, that's the way people talk. So, should it be cleaned up for consumption? If that's what's really going on, then why not be exposed to it? But I think we could probably do better.
Yeah, footy's increasingly becoming sort of a moral yardstick, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, there's more reports of another racist tirade from a fan to a player. So it just feels like every week there's something else. Maybe footy's just getting too much attention. Maybe we all need to find a new hobby.
Wash out your mouth, Tim. Anzac Day, one day of the year where Australians really get behind the country. Great pride, probably more so than Australia Day. But this year, Tim, a few comments that have perhaps tainted the public holiday.
Yeah, tainted it a little bit. And it's hard to know exactly what to say because, without making the situation worse, because really, who cares what a couple of nitwits say. But it turns out a bit of a stink was caused on a couple of public comments. And rather than even rehash what all those were, I think it's just comes down to it's bad manners, I feel like. It's hard to talk around it, but essentially there was a couple of occasions where people used the Anzac Day ceremonies as a bit of a platform to push other agendas.
Yes.
And probably the best comment I heard about it was, look, there's a time and a place to debate. The things people might have raised could be legitimate things, but is it the time and place to raise it? Like, I feel like no.
I guess they believe they'll get more publicity on a day where people are really taking notice of these occasions and interests. I know you don't really want to go into the specifics, but basically bringing up asylum seekers, Aboriginal issues, things like
yep.
that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, fairly touchy stuff. And I understand you want to maximise your coverage when you're trying to make a point, but nothing to do with Anzac Day. And I've got one thing I want to say about Anzac Day, but I think what is fairly telling is that there was two major incidents, and both of the people responsible both apologised, basically. Both said sorry. One was a tweet that was deleted. The other one was a speech at a ceremony that the lady later apologised for, although not fully apologised. She said, I'm sorry, but it's true. But anyway, there's a bit of regret there. Probably realised, that's Anzac Day is not the time to do it.
When you explained it there, you're right. There was no actual link to past wars or past battles that then linked to some sort of dark part of our history we didn't want to bring up. It was totally different issues that don't have any links. So, yeah, you're right. Not the right time, but I guess if you wanted to go on a really obscure angle, you would say that the soldiers battled for our freedom to just say what we want in a country where we can have our say without being shot down, shot down in that sort of way.
Well, I think you can. Yeah, well, that's right. We have they earn for us the right not to be shot down literally. I think it's figuratively okay to shoot down people, and that's the thing. Freedom of speech, sure. So you can say your thing, and then you can get blasted for saying it, and that's basically what happens. So I guess the system's working. I mean, Anzac Day itself, I don't know if it's controversial anymore. I remember feeling at different times like, you know, especially the world wars that happened, these are just, you know, ghastly events that I'll never fully understand, hopefully, in the course of my life, because those were just, you know, cataclysmic events is not a word I use often, but those two things were that, and millions in total, millions died. And, you know, should the Anzacs have been, you know, over where they were? Should we have been involved in this, that? At different points, I've wondered that, and I think it's fine to. But my final point on the Anzac Day is, look, the right, wrong, whatever aside, bottom line, tens of thousands of Aussies died. The least I can do is just take a little moment every year to just acknowledge that and not get bogged down in a debate about what's right and what's wrong and the moralistics of it all. I just feel like, you know what, a shitload of people died. I'm just going to, you know, take a moment, tip my hat and, you know, enjoy the awesome country.
You need to go to a service and see someone who has clearly lost someone or remembering a grandfather or someone within their family. It just hits home that it's personal. These numbers, thousands of people died. For each family, there's maybe one or two people that were killed, and it was totally unnecessary. What else is inspiring or bugging you, Tim?
Well, a high-rating article on reputable news source of news.com.au today, which I've noticed, which caught my interest. The website is news.com, so we assume that what is on there is news. I'm not sure. This is, I guess, is more in the vein of lifestyle news.
Mm.
But the headline did grab me because I love these kinds of things. It was seven things to make sure you do before 7 a.m.
Ooh.
Now, I like these ones because I'm not actually really a morning person, but I feel like I want to be a morning person. And so any shortcuts or even just tips about what I should be doing to get my day off on the best possible foot, I'm always up for that.
You're in at work at about 7:30, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a morning person?
Well, no, by force, I just have to be. But
right,
naturally,
okay. Naturally,
I find naturally I'd like to wake up at 7 a.m. That's a good time for me to wake up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it turns out I'm setting the alarm a bit before that. So any hints I can get, I'm all for. And I've got what these, I think it's seven.
Seven, okay.
Things to do before 7 a.m. And I want to know, Marcus, exactly how many of them you're doing.
Well, I'm probably calculating that gives me about 7 minutes to do them, but probably none of them.
You're an early riser?
Well, no, at the moment I'm going to bed quite late, and I start work late morning, so I'm in a very lucky position where time is not really an issue for me in the mornings at the moment. But
all right,
I do want to hear them because, actually, in a few weeks' time I will be working some very early shifts, so I might as well hear them.
Yeah, and even if you do, us starting work a little bit later, when you come in, you want to be bouncing on the balls of your feet and ready to just grab the day by the scruff of the neck.
Proverbial neck.
Is that right?
Yeah, yep.
Number one.
Yes.
And let me know if you're doing these. Drink a glass of water before 7 a.m.
No. I'm probably having a juice.
Yeah. It's not one I stick to closely, but I feel like it's an easy one. I can probably do that.
Yeah, I think maybe I wake up a bit parched.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have a bit of water.
Yeah. One glass of water before 7,
okay.
That's what you need. I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's an easy one.
Okay.
Read. Ideally something inspirational.
No, I'm just reading tweets and news.com.au.
Yeah, I'm not really reading before 7 a.m. Exercise. Now they start getting hard.
Yeah, I do incorporate exercise into my morning routine, but clearly not before 7.
Yeah, I'd like to, but that's a tall order. Before 7 a.m., goodness. And I think, you know, they suggest yoga's a good one. So, first of all, I've got to go and learn that.
Yeah, okay.
So, that's probably not practical for me starting from tomorrow. Here's a good one. Easy, but not sure I'll do it. Before 7 a.m., you should sing in the shower.
No, I'm not singing in the shower.
No, me either. And this is where they start to get a bit of a whiff of BS for me.
Now, with these first, is that the first four?
That's four.
Four? Any reasons behind? Do they have some sort of science, like if you get a glass of water into you, you're...
flushes the toxins.
Okay, toxins.
Yep.
Reading gets the brain...
Gets the brain
synapses,
firing.
Synapses?
Yep.
Yeah, gets them firing.
And exercise.
Singing in the shower.
Singing the
communication,
shower.
Communication, getting the vocal cords ready for the day.
I'm not sure about the exact science of that one, but I know the science of this one. Smiling. Yeah, that releases the love hormone. I'm not sure what the real word for it is, but they call it the love hormone. Mm. And the act of arranging your face into a smile does release certain hormones that apparently that's good.
Well, there you go. When I read the news, I try to have a smile expression on my face because I think it helps with my enthusiasm.
Mm,
and I think it actually over the years has helped my mental state. So yeah, I agree with that one.
This is completely random and off topic, but for a brief period I did a job going door to door.
Okay.
It was a terrible time of my life. And I had the idea that if I could be kind of smiley when the person opened the door, I'd have a much better chance of, you know, striking a rapport and, you know, selling whatever crap it was. So I had the idea, I had to carry on this folder of crap, and I had the idea if I could think of something funny to stick on the back of the folder, I would just glance at that every time I knocked on a door, glance at the funny thing I'd stuck there, and then by the time the person opened the door, I'd kind of have a genuine smile on my face and be kind of grinning. But it didn't work. I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because I quit that job by lunchtime. So
right, okay.
Never got the chance to do it.
Good intentions.
There's two other things to do before 7 a.m. One is meditate.
Okay.
Tough.
Yep.
Is it because I'll just fall asleep again?
I don't meditate at all, so yep, that's a tough one. And number one.
Set your goals for the day.
Set your goals for the day. Whew. I like that. How about you? I don't think it's achievable for me.
Some of those I'm going to start trying to do from tomorrow. Others are going to take some time to get in place, like learning yoga and learning how to meditate. Time's an issue.
How much time do they expect you to need for all those? Well, water's quick.
Yeah, most of them are quick.
Singing in the shower.
Yeah, exercising is going to take a chunk of time. Setting goals every day, I don't know. No one's got time for that.